Chamberlain. Well, that is Neville Chamberlain. That's correct. He was the British Prime Minister back between 1937 and 1940. He's best known for his phrase, "Peace for our time." That was something that he declared after the Munich Agreement, which is what he's announcing right there in 1938, when he made a compact, when he made an agreement with Adolf Hitler to give Germany part of Czechoslovakia. And in return for that promise, Hitler said that he would not take any more land. Now, that appeasement, okay, it's kind of funny as we look back on it, I understand it. The appeasement policy frustrated many because they did not believe that it would actually achieve lasting peace. And those skeptics were right, as we all know. You see, having bought himself a little bit more time to build up his German army, Hitler actually invaded Poland less than a year later, touching off a five-year conflict, which we call World War II. See, millions of deaths could have probably been avoided had Chamberlain actually stood up to Nazi Germany and Hitler at that point in time instead of signing the compact. Of course, it would have meant sending in British troops to fight the Germans way back in 38. But lasting peace always has a price. Now, you may know that if you've ever had to stand up to a bully. See, as long as you keep giving him your lunch money, he is going to keep making your life miserable. So as we continue our series in Luke, we're going to be looking at verses 49 through 53 of chapter 12 in a message that is titled, "Lasting Peace Has a Price." See, Jesus, he also teaches that lasting peace has a price. It costs Christ his life. And it will cost Christians friendships. Jesus wants us to come to terms with these facts, because if we don't, if we compromise the truths of the Bible to pursue peace for our time with family or with friends, the ones who are opposed to the gospel, then we may lose the everlasting peace of heaven. Yes, Jesus was deadly serious when he spoke the words of our text. And in fact, his disciples, they must have been reeling from what he said last week, but they must have been even more shaken when they heard him say in verse 50, "But I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint I am under until it is complete." See, the baptism that Jesus was alluding to was not like his first baptism. You know, the one that involved water? Well, this one, it doesn't involve any water. Nor did his Father speak these loving words from heaven at his baptism. This was going to be a baptism of suffering that led to Jesus' abandonment by his Heavenly Father. This baptism was nothing less than his appointment with hell on the Good Friday cross. Now, we've all had appointments that have made us feel anxious at times. Maybe appointments with the dentist or a doctor, maybe even an IRS agent. But that's nothing compared to the dread that Jesus must have experiencing as he's waiting for this baptism of fire. See, when we go to the dentist or to the doctor, it's for our own good. If we go to see an IRS agent, we can take a friend along with us to lend support, or maybe an attorney, somebody to help us, encourage us. But do you know that when Jesus kept his appointment with the cross, he did so not because it was good for him, but because it was good for us. And he went alone. He was jeered by his enemies. He was abandoned by his disciples. And he was rejected by his Heavenly Father. And while Jesus, he shuddered at the thought of going to the cross, he did not shrink from the task. And thank God that he didn't. Because Jesus, he was whipped for the times that I grumble and complain about having to do chores. Because he was spit upon for my hesitancy to forgive. Because he was crucified for the anger that I try to hide from others with a fake smile and an "I'm doing okay." You see, because of the cross of Christ and his baptism of fire, I can have peace with God. My sins, they won't condemn me come judgment day because in Jesus they have been forgiven. And yours have been forgiven as well. We shouldn't expect anything less from someone who was prophesied to be the Prince of Peace. And yet there are many who do not like the message that Jesus came to die for our sins. Back in 2013, the Presbyterian Church, they decided to drop the song In Christ Alone from their hymnal. Because the authors, they would not allow them to make a lyrical change. The Presbyterian Hymnal Committee, they didn't want a hymn verse in their hymnal that read that at the cross, the wrath of God was satisfied. They felt that it made God seem like a vengeful and bloodthirsty deity. Well, God isn't that, of course, but He is holy. He can't live with sin any more than you or I can live on the sun. It just doesn't happen. God simply cannot turn away from our sin and ignore them the way that a professional athlete tunes out the crowd as it jeers him as he's competing. No, if God wants sinners, us, to live with Him forever, and He does, okay, then He must deal with our sins, which keep slamming into Him like a barrage of insults. See, God burned the record of our sins by sending Jesus Christ, His Son, to pay for them on the cross. That was the baptism of fire. See, lasting peace, it has a price. It cost Christ His life. But lasting peace, it also has another price. Jesus explains, continuing our text, in verse 49 and then in verse 51, and He said, I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. And then He goes on in 51 and says, do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No. I tell you, but division. See, while Jesus came to make peace with us and with God by giving His life, He did not come to make our lives peaceful. See, that just kind of sounds hard, doesn't it? This is where we go. See, that's not surprising when you consider the nature of Jesus' message. Jesus tells us that all of those who believe in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. But all those who do not believe, they will be condemned. There is no middle ground there. Either you trust Jesus Christ alone for eternal salvation, or you don't. And that will lead to eternal condemnation. There's nowhere in the middle. Therefore, wherever the message of the cross of Christ goes, fires are ignited. When Jesus told the Jews of His day that the only way to the Heavenly Father was through Him, they got a little hot. And they tried to come up with a way to kill Him. If you tell that to a Muslim today, you'll probably get the exact same reaction. Or say to your neighbor that living with his girlfriend is not God-pleasing, and he'll probably tell you to mind your own business. Even family members may get upset when you insist on sharing with them the truth of God's word and His commands. See, that's just what Jesus said would happen. Listen to verses 52 and 53 from our text, our last verses for this morning. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other. Three against two and two against three. They will be divided father against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Yes, the cross of Christ and its message, it ignites fires wherever it goes. So if you can't stand the heat, should you get out of the kitchen? Well, that's probably good advice in most situations. But it is not good advice when It comes to dealing with the fires that start because of the cross. But unfortunately, that's exactly what some Christians do when the cross starts fires in their relationships with families. They don't like the heat. And so they get rid of the cross. You see, no cross, no fire, no mess, no fuss. Everybody's happy. Who needs conflict anyway? Can't we all just get along? Is that what we think sometimes? If a friend disagrees with what God says about sexuality or even morality, do we just clam up and keep quiet and not say anything? If someone we love is staying away from church, do we say nothing because we don't want to upset them? Yet listen closely to what Jesus said about such an attitude in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, where he says, "Anyone who loves his father or mother, son or daughter, more than me is not worthy of me." If we think that it's better to keep the peace in the family than to share and live the truth about sin and grace, Jesus says that we have put our family. Really, we've put ourselves before we put Him. But be careful, brothers and sisters here. Where there is peace, there may be no cross. And Jesus warned in Luke chapter 6, he said, "Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for that is how their fathers treated the false prophets." Now Jesus here isn't saying that we need to be obnoxious about our faith. But he's also not saying that we need to hide it or make a compromise for the sake of our friendships or of our family. Holding on to Jesus may mean having to let go of peaceful relations with childhood friends or maybe even in-laws. That's not easy. But it is the way to lasting peace. Because where there is no cross, there may be peace with men, but there can be no peace with God. For without the cross, there is no forgiveness. Now, it's easy to make fun of Neville Chamberlain for being spineless and even short-sighted when he was making peace with Adolf Hitler. But you know that we too have been short-sighted and spineless when compromising the message of Jesus to try to keep peace with those who oppose it? Here's the reality of it. Living under the cross is not peaceful and it is not easy. Which one of God's prophets, when they were called to go give a message and they were being persecuted and being tortured and actually even being put to death, said, "No, not yet. Give me more, more." See, we look forward to the day when we will experience a peaceful existence, free from sin. But that day will not happen until we get to heaven. Until then, take encouragement from these words from the epistle of Hebrews, chapter 12, starting at verse 2, where it says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Yes, when you get rid of the conflict that comes because you're a Christian, when you get tired of it, when you get tired of that conflict, consider Christ and the cross that He suffered. See, our suffering, it will never be as intense as what Christ went through. Nor will we ever have to suffer alone as Jesus did. Because Jesus Himself is with us. And He also promised to send the Holy Spirit to motivate us, to help empower us, to be bold witnesses of the truth. See, the fire of battle that comes with the cross isn't nearly as hot as the fire of hell that comes without the cross. So fix your eyes on Jesus. He survived the fire of his cross, and because of that, he can safely deliver you through. Not from, but through the fire of your own cross to an everlasting peace.